Welcome back inside our Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center, which is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. I'm Jessica Coody, and we continue to celebrate that Big Ten title for Nebraska track and field, make it back-to-back for the Husker men as they bring home yet another title back to Lincoln. And one of the guys that contributed to that won a Big Ten individual title of his own. Tyus Wilson is here to join us to talk a little bit about all of that. Thanks for being here. Congratulations. What a weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a super fun weekend in Ann Arbor. Crazy. We left on Wednesday and I didn't compete till Sunday. So just a lot of sitting around, a lot of waiting to compete. But it was super fun, super exciting to do that back-to-back years.
You're in the midst of an incredible spring season, which I want to dive into, but I also want to talk about the team title because we had Justin St. Clair on last week. And, you know, after you guys won it last year, he said that's kind of the expectations that we have now is to win titles. So what was the mindset, the mentality of this group going, knowing you had a title to defend?
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, last year was first time we'd won a title since 2019. And a lot of the guys were new to that experience. I think there's only one or two that had been on that winning team in 2019. So kind of a new thing last year for all of us to be in that position. We just wanted to walk into the meet, and we knew that we have a couple guys, a couple big point scorers that redshirted this year due to injuries or training for the Olympics or whatever. So this year we were kind of going in being like, well, we got to pick up some points in some other places. But, ultimately it comes down to just you got to do your job. And it's kind of crazy because in high school, I'm from a small town in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And even like our league meet, like we had maybe like five or six guys that would score, and then we'd have maybe five guys that would go to state. So I was never part of a team that, like, you know, you'd go out there and like have a chance to win titles like that. So it's a really unique experience to be a part of something like that right now.
You guys absolutely dominated, really, from start to finish. I mean, it really wasn't close by the end. Sometimes it comes down to the last event with the women. It actually did. It was tight up until the end. But what's it like for you when you're competing on the last day and you're kind of watching your teammates go out there? Is it contagious? Do you feed off of that?
Yeah, definitely. Last year, we could feel it with last year when we won. We saw Max Otterdahl and Jonah Wilson just chucking the shot put and discus, and they're going 1-2. So we definitely fed off that last year. But this year, I had no idea. I was out there competing, and we warmed up at 10:45. I was supposed to compete at 12:30, but I didn't come until a later bar. So I didn't come until 2:00 and ended up finishing the competition at 3:30. So, I mean, the whole day you're away from your phone. You're not really looking up at the video board. So honestly, during the whole competition, I was like, I don't know where we're sitting. I don't know if we have a good shot here. I knew coming in the day before that we'd set ourselves up well, getting a lot of people advanced into the finals. To be in the middle of the competition and not know, it's a little nerve-wracking, but at the same time, it's like you can't control it.
Yeah.
So control what you can control. So I just wanted to go out there and do what I could for the team, and ended up, I didn't really even need to do that, but Still fun to not know that and to have that as a fun little surprise at the end.
What can you say about Justin St. Clair, the job he's done since he's taken over as a head coach, and what he does well in that leadership mm-hmm. role for you guys?
I mean, he definitely holds a high expectation of the team. I think this is the first year we've had travel standards to get to meets, and so I think he's trying to build a program that is across the board very high caliber athletes. Especially, you know, in the throws, he's bringing in a lot of good athletes and doing that well there, and keeping the jumps consistent. So, and I've also seen on the sprinter side, I don't know if that's Sinclair or that's a lot of coaches doing, but that we've had a lot of good sprinters come in, which has helped on the running side of things at least. So yeah, he's definitely trying to make, to best of his ability, a well-rounded team that can compete at the high level, not just the Big Ten, but hopefully nationally in a few years. So
you mentioned you're from a small town in Kansas. Let's talk about your journey here. When you you played, what, basketball, mm-hmm. football, and ran track.
Right.
Talk to me about, I guess, how you got into track and high jumping and why that ended up ultimately being the path for you.
Right. So, I'm from Sterling, Kansas, about an hour outside of Wichita. I'm actually not in the city limits of Sterling. I grew up on a farm.
Cool.
My grandpa's farm. So, yeah, had a lot of bucking bales in the summer and, you know, helping grandparents on the farm a little bit. So, you know, that definitely teaches you hard work. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, just it's kind of unique going from a small town to, you know, Lincoln's not huge, but it's, for me, it was a very big city.
Absolutely.
Coming in. And so, yeah, just the small town aspect, you get to do everything. I did basketball and track all 4 years. And I got into track actually about, I want to say like 9 or 10. My parents both went to Sterling College, which is in my hometown. They ran basketball, did track. My mom was a phenomenal high jumper, you know, state record holder in all three jumps and in a couple different classes. And then my dad was a 400 hurdler and a high jumper. His main focus was basketball, though, for him.
Wow.
So, yeah, exposed very early, very good coaching when I was young. So that definitely contributed a lot to my success. I can't thank them enough for the position they put me in. And but, yeah, ultimately they didn't really push anything on me, which is good. They never forced me to be a jumper. They never forced me to do basketball. It was something that they let me come to it on my own and you know, find the love for the sport through my own adventuring. And so I was very grateful for that. But yeah, when I started kind of getting to that higher level, it was very nice to have parents that could also be coaches that knew quite a bit about the sport.
That's so cool. So did you have like a high jump pit at the house?
So actually the funny thing is my mom had, she has a gymnastics facility. She's also a gymnastics coach. She did gymnastics growing up.
Wow, all the sports.
Oh man, yeah. So I did gymnastics growing up as well. So I contribute a little bit of my athletic ability to that. And so she had the foam pits and all that stuff that I kind of turned into high jump equipment when I got into high school. But yeah, I also got to coach gymnastics from about eighth grade. And sometimes when I go back now, I'll kind of go back. I know some of the girls that are still on the team and still get to coach them. And some of them made their way up to some meets here and supported me. So it's kind of fun to see, to have that. But yeah, no, I've had some facilities at home that are a little unique too.
That's amazing. So if fans that don't know, if you watch, you do a backflip at the end. When you won, you were backflipping. Yeah. Was that an ode to the gymnastics background?
Yeah, no, that is definitely something I learned when I was young in the gymnastics facilities. So yeah, I think I don't know that I can do much now. You know, gymnasts are usually about 5'5", 5'2", and I'm 6'8", so not a good mix for a gymnast by any means, but I can still do a couple tricks here and there, and yeah, I like to show that off a little bit every once in a while.
That's cool. So being that, you know, it was such a big part of your family, what did you find in your own love for high jumping and competing in the sport?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I there's something about attention to detail and mm-hmm. just, yeah, ever since I was little, I was very, you know, room was always clean, bed was always made. So I really like to fine tune things. And high jump is just one of those sports that, like, even now at the level I am, there's so much to work on still. Even through the last few parts of the approach and through the takeoff, there's so many fine tuning details that no matter how well you do, no matter how hard you work, there's always something more to work on, which is kind of fun. It's like a puzzle piece that you're fitting together and you're kind of seeing it come together. As I get further along in college, but you know, there's still a lot of missing pieces that I can still piece together, and I think that's kind of what makes it fun, is that no matter how hard you work, there's something to do on top of it that can provide a little extra boost.
Yeah, absolutely, cool perspective. So we go through the recruiting process. You were the Gatorade Athlete of the Year in Kansas, so I'm sure you had options. Why did it feel right here at Nebraska?
Yeah, so yeah, obviously there's a lot of schools reaching out at the time. Had a really great high school career, even though COVID cut junior year completely out. So yeah, I was very thankful that freshman and sophomore year went so well and that I could be recruited based on those numbers. But yeah, I definitely talked to the coaches. I loved K-State and Nebraska. They were kind of my two, you know, hometown K-State. Like, that was a dream growing up. But then Nebraska, I knew that Dusty is an Olympic high jumper. He knew his stuff. But honestly, what it came down to was talking to the athletes over the phone. Didn't really get to meet him in person, but I knew I competed against Mikey Hoffer, and he was here when I was being recruited in my first 2 years here. So talking to him, talking to Mason Connor over the phone, and then I talked to some of the K-State guys, and I just, like, there's something about the guys in Nebraska that they were so tight-knit, and that's kind of what I was looking for, too, is just a community. You know, if I'm going 4 hours away from home, I want a group of people that I can be around and really enjoy my time with. So that's really part of the tipping point for Nebraska, was just the people there that I had met. Like, there was not a single person that I was like, oh, this character that I don't really want to be around. Like, everybody was just so amazing. So
that's cool. So and being that it was right in the middle of COVID, you probably didn't really get a feel like everybody else does when they're going through it. So at what point did you think, okay, I made the right decision?
Right. Yeah. No, I definitely prayed about it for a while. And then kind of getting the scholarship offers and everything. I talked to my dad before. He's like, if you had to choose, no scholarship included, like, who are you going to lean towards? And I was like, I'll probably go towards Nebraska. And then when all the numbers like came about, like, it was clear. I was like, well, this is a pretty good push in the right direction from GAD, that this is the place to be. And so made that decision really easy at the end of the day, because, you know, I would have been probably happy at both schools, but I think it was a clear answer to prayer for
Love that. You've mentioned Dusty. Tell us about him. He's your jumps coach. We hear his name mentioned a lot. What is it about him that makes him such an elite coach at the high jump?
Yeah, so he's just so knowledgeable. Like, I thought I knew a lot in high school, and then I come into this program, and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know anything about this sport. And so, yeah, because he's been on at the highest meets, highest competition levels. He's seen world-class athletes, some of the best. And so he's definitely well-rounded in his knowledge of the event, and then to be able to put that on us. And he always tells us this at the beginning of the year, but I can't give him credit because I have to give Coach Pepin credit, because it was a Pepin quote. But he said, you're going to major in whatever it is, so elementary education. He said, you're going to major in that, but you're going to have a minor in high jump. Like, that's how well I want you to know this event. So that's just his mentality of, like, yeah, I want you to make, I want to make you a good athlete, but I also want you to know the sport. And so whenever we're doing drills, especially early in the year, it's always down to detail and why are we doing it this way? Like, some of the drills, you're like, what is this even for? And so he'll point out, this is the part of the approach. This is the part of the competition that we're really kind of trying to train here, so that when we get into the spring, we don't have to consciously think about it. It's like driving a car. You're just doing it automatically. So, I think that's really what makes him a good coach, is that he really cares about that. His athletes, wants them to do them well, but also wants them to just be stewards and wants them to be learners of the sport. So
that's awesome. Elementary education, huh? What, you want to be a elementary teacher?
Yeah, so that's a lot of my gymnastics background, actually, is growing up, being around the kids. I'm like, background story, both my parents were teachers. My mom's not anymore, but my dad still is a fifth grade teacher. Grandparents both had roles in education. And then my sisters went to college for something else, and then they switched their majors. One of them's a science teacher now, the other one's a PE teacher. So when I was going in, I was like, I do not want to be, I don't want to be a teacher. Like, this is not the route I want to do. So I was like, I'm going to do a reverse psychology. I'm going to go into teaching, and I'm going to find something else that I love, and I'm going to go to that. And so that was my mindset coming in. But then being around the gymnasts, and I've done a few track camps. And so through those, I'm just like, I just love being around kids. I love teaching them. I love seeing those light bulb moments where they're like, oh, this is what this means, or just seeing them learn and grow. So yeah, I got to college, I've gotten my first practicum. I was just like, I love the classroom. So I guess didn't really even have to find my way. It just kind of found me. So
I love that. My parents are both in education too, so awesome. I appreciate that. So this outdoor season, well, really this whole starting back in the indoor, but especially here lately, it seems like every time you get out on the track, you get better and better. What's gone into this outdoor season and your confidence and why you're performing so well.
Right. This could be a long roundabout. We'll get settled in. So in high school, my PR was 7.3. I was living on top of life and everything. And coming into freshman year, I kind of had the same high hopes, high expectations. I knew that I was coming into a great coaching staff, great people to train with. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep going up and up and up. Get here freshman year, and it was just felt like a disaster. I mean, I had stress reactions in both my shins. I was still growing. I was 5 or 6'7" in high school, and by the start of sophomore year, I was 6'8" and maybe a fraction or so.
Wow.
So, like, things were still growing, things were still developing, and so when I'm trying to do these hard, intense workouts, like, my body was just not having it. It was just breaking down. And so, you know, the marks just weren't following freshman year, unfortunately. And then on top of that, my dad ends up getting lung cancer. He's made remission now, so he, like, praise God for that. But, so physically I'm broken down, and mentally, like, I'm just in a bad spot. I'm in a new place, new people, and I'm just like, oh, man, just nothing's going right here. And in the midst of that, I was like, I don't know what is going on. I don't know where my focus is. And ultimately, that fixed my eyes to Jesus. So I grew up in a great great family, great household that brought me up to know Jesus, to know the love of Jesus, to know the freedom we have in him. But through this experience freshman year, like, it was this idea that I'm not in control of anything. Like, if I was in control of anything right now, I would be national champion, school record holder, like, all these things. But it just really showed me that, like, I'm not in control of my destiny. I'm not in control of my life right now. And so there's got to be something else, something, a firm foundation to lean on and rest on and to have my identity in. And so, like, in that moment, I was like, high jump can't be my identity, because if that's my identity, I've got a bad identity right now. Like, I'm not performing like I want to, and it's just going to ultimately lead down to, like, a depressive state and things like that. So I would say that as a believer in Jesus before I came to college, but freshman year, he just grew me so much. Mm. And to know that I'm not enough on my own, but to know that he was enough on the cross, and to know that through his death, through his resurrection, like, I'm free. I don't need to do anything else. There's no works that I need to do to earn his approval, to earn his favor. You know, it just brings a certain amount of freedom to have that belief in someone else who is in control. So then to bring that all around, sophomore year, things started to go on the up and up. I think I've stopped growing since then, so that definitely helps with the training side of things. But ultimately, I think God was, like, telling me, hey, you're not ready to be at the national stage, because the glory is not going to go to me.
Hmm.
And so I get to the national stage sophomore year, end up competing well, and, like, I've got a couple of interviews, and through those, I'm like, I can't even give myself credit, because I'm not the one who brought me out of this slump. It was all him. And so, yeah, just to use that stage, to use that platform, and even this platform that I have right now, to shine back to him, to give him the glory for what he's done in my life, not what I've done. I think he was in that season, freshman year of breaking me down, really just, you know, pressure makes diamonds, and he was putting some pressure on me so that I could give it back to him. So I think I would give a lot of my credit to my success. Obviously, putting your faith in Jesus isn't going to give you the success on the track or on the court or in the classroom that you want, but it's going to put you in a better headspace, a better heart posture towards him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this outdoor season, I think I've just been training well. First year that I haven't had, like, a major injury since coming in freshman year. And, yeah, I feel like it's been coming. And with the training and the knowledge and things just coming together, I knew some big marks were going to come this outdoors, but I wanted to focus one meet at a time, and it's just been cool to see the numbers going up and God's glory going higher. So
that's amazing. What an incredible testimony. I think you can see when you watch that you have this joy about you, mm-hmm. that so many athletes can get wrapped up in that their sport or how they perform. But I feel like when you watch, you can tell that You know, it's different. It's your I guess, yeah, like you said, free, and I keep going back to joy. It just seems like you have so much joy when you're out there.
Yeah, no, that's joy doesn't come from competition. That's what I've learned through a lot of things. Happiness comes from competition. Mm-hmm. That's not where joy is found. Joy is found in the Lord. And so that's something that I pray before every meet. I'm just in just bowing before the Lord, and I'm like, you know, whether I win or lose today, whether I know height or have a personal best, like, all the glory is to you. You're my joy. You're where my satisfaction is found. And so that's very freeing to know that. And you talk about these big meets of, you know, Drake Relays and Big Tens. And even last year at Outdoor Big Tens, I struggled a lot last year with just fear of, like, what are people going to think of me if I don't jump these marks that and produce like I need to? Or what are people going to think if I miss this bar? And so there's like a lot of fear captivating my mind. But my mind always goes back to the 1 Peter verse where it talks about, cast your anxieties on me because I care for you. Speaking of God there. And so to just be able to pray in those moments in competition and in the heat of the moment and just say, Lord, this is for you. Like, whether I make this bar or miss it, it doesn't matter, because that's not where my hope is found. My hope's found in you. And so, yeah, when I'm competing, like, these past two seasons, but especially this season, like, that joy, yeah, I'm very happy that the marks are coming, but that's, like, I'm pointing to the sky, I'm bowing on the ground, like, that, I'm worshiping God. The sport is used to worship Him. It's not to do anything else. So that's ultimately what the joy out there is for, is rejoicing in what He's done in my life and not what I've done in my own. So
that's amazing. So 7.6 was the best mark in the NCAA this season. You're moving up the record books in Nebraska, but it's fourth in the world and I think second among Americans. So what did it feel like when you hit 7.6?
That was honestly, I look at the bar right before it, I go, dang, that is high. For a 6'8 guy to look up and see something as tall, like, oh, man. And there's, like, a picture of me and the officials, like, after the meet.
Yeah.
And the bar's up. And I'm like, okay, take myself out of the picture and just look at the other people. It's just incredible to look up at that bar and be like, dang, I, like, got my whole body over that. So it's definitely something, like, I didn't do that on my own. There's something else there. But, yeah, it's hard to put into words and describe just – looking at a bar that high and approaching at it and being like, yeah, I'm like fully confident that I can I can make that and do that. I try not to compare myself to others. Like Dusty, my coach, says all the time, like, we're just, everybody's built different. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody has their own strengths. Like, you look at Mutaz or Javon, some of these, like, just raw athletes that jump even 6 inches higher than me. It's like, you look at their body structure and you can't even coach that. Like, it's something that's natural. And so yeah, coming back to that, it's like it's one of those things that I can't take any credit for it, because that's just the way my body was structured. I have to thank my parents for it, because that's all genetics right there. So yeah, just crazy to put into words, crazy to think about. But yeah, I didn't even know that I was all these, whatever. I knew it was first in the nation. Didn't know where it put me in the U.S. Didn't know where it put me in the world. But obviously, those guys at Worlds, they're in their Diamond League circuit. Their goals in August. So obviously, they're not jumping the bars that they want to be right now. But hopefully, I've got some more bars in me too. So yeah, I just don't like to compare myself to others, because I know they're just different than me, and that's the way God made us. So.
I had to put it in perspective, though, for those, you know, maybe non-track listeners, just how incredible that mark was. I was going to ask you, too, about that picture that you just brought up with the officials. What was the story behind that? Because I saw that posted.
Right. Yeah. No, I was waiting for awards. They were taking a little while. So I was like, oh, I'll just go back and pack my bags. And they were kind of putting everything away. And they're like, oh, we just enjoyed the competition so much. And, like, you were so fun to watch and cheer on. And they're like, we want to get a picture with you. So, yeah, they were originally going to put it up to the 7.7 and a quarter bar I went out. I was like, I didn't make that. We got to make this realistic. But, Yeah, so I had never really gotten a picture with a bar that I had as a PR before, so that was kind of the first time, and it was fun because you look at the officials in the videos of the replays, and they're just having fun too.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to think that like I am like helping bring joy into the track world and to provide some entertainment. I know that a lot of events can be maybe boring to watch on TV, but yeah, I think just to see the happiness that it brings to other people to see somebody else do well is beyond words. So yeah, that was fun to share that with them.
That's cool. I feel like the high jump's kind of a big show too. It seems like, you know, when you watch it on the streams and the announcers always just seem so hyped about what you guys are doing. How much fun is it to be a part of that? And they're your competitors, but it seems like you guys are just like also working together to, hey, let's put on this great performance for people.
Yeah. It's that, especially indoors too. Thinking back to it, like, yeah, you definitely feed off of each other.
Uh-huh.
And it brings you closer as a competition group. I mean, you know those guys well as athletes and more as people too. And just, I mean, our competition was, 2.5 hours long. So you're like, you're talking with the other guys too and having conversations with them. So that's kind of been fun to, you know, make those friendships. And you see them at meets and you can just have that joy and kind of push each other. Obviously it's not a sprinting event, like we're all jumping at the same bar. We're trying to, like, the bar is the enemy, not each other in this situation. So yeah, you definitely can feel at those high energy meets that one person makes a bar and then we can go push the other person. Indoors we were like, Sean and Cam were just chirping at each other. He's like, one guy would make 217 and point at the other saying, hey, it's your turn now, like all this stuff. So I don't know, it was just super fun. It wasn't as chirpy this outdoor season, but I think, you know, you get the fans wrapped around there on the fence and getting the clap going. It just adds more to the atmosphere and it's super fun.
So you've got some things to accomplish here in your collegiate season, but is the Olympics potentially a goal for you? And when did that come about that maybe, oh my gosh, I could maybe do this?
Right. So there's like dreams and then there's goals.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, like I looked when I was little, like middle school, young high school, and I'm like, okay, first Olympic year is like junior year. Okay, maybe I'll be ready by that. But you know, in my young mind, I was like, oh, I'll definitely be ready for 2028 when it comes back to the U.S. But yeah, to just, obviously my PR 7.3 at the beginning of the year, that's not gonna get you there. That'll get you to trials, but that won't get you to the Olympics. But yeah, to see just the marks going up and up, and I know it's pretty early in my season. I've only had three meets that have finished, four meets. One of them got lightning canceled. But yeah, it's just crazy to have that dream now become a goal. And it's like, it's not this far-fetched thing anymore. It's like, you get 3 or 4 more centimeters into your jump and you've got a pretty good shot. So I think it's one of those things that I want to go one competition at a time, obviously.
Yeah.
Like regionals is the next one, and I don't want to get so ahead of myself that regionals doesn't go well and I don't make it to nationals. So obviously my mindset is on regionals right now. But yeah, looking past to July and later in the season, I definitely want to be there. I definitely want to compete to get to the Olympics. Didn't know that was going to be a realistic goal at the beginning of the season, but as it gets closer, I kind of see it unfolding a little bit more, which is, it's fun to think about, and I just want to really enjoy it because, you know, 13-year-old me was dreaming about being in my position today. So, yeah, just want to do that 13-year-old well.
That's really cool. So you kind of just hit on this, but not just for you, but for also, you know, that your fellow athletes that also have a chance to go compete for bigger things, even in this collegiate season, in terms of national titles. What's the approach? What is the next couple of weeks, month or so look like for you guys to be able to be ready to go to maybe make some noise on a national scene?
Right. Yeah. At this point, you know, you don't want to change anything. Like, it's not that it's too late to change, but, like, we've got a lot of good things going right now as far as, like I'm consistently jumping some higher bars and Reed and Mason are both, you know, flirting around with that that bar that'll make it to nationals. So you don't want to do anything drastically different, because although it might pay off, it also might hinder you a lot. So, you know, this last part, training kind of backs off a little bit. I've talked to Dusty, and, you know, maybe training might be able to ramp up a little bit. He talks a little bit like a bank account. you know, if you make some withdrawals at some higher bars, you know, you're going to withdraw to the point where you don't have any money left to draw out. So he's talking about, you know, we got to put a little bit back in. He obviously, he's had experience with that. He talked about his senior year when he did kind of the same thing, 7.5, 7.5, and then he jumped 7, 8 and 3/4 bar or whatever at conference. And then at nationals, he said he struggled to make like 7.5 or 7.6. So he said it's one of those things that he at that time was drawing out and not putting enough back in. So he's kind of talking to me about, you know, we can put some back in right now and still get a good bar at regionals, and hopefully by nationals we can make another big withdrawal. So it's honestly, that's kind of way to think about it, or like thinking about it in waves of, you know, you've got to go break down a little bit to come back up. So I trust his planning. I trust his program that he's going to set that up well for me. So that's kind of what it just looks like is, you know, either you're trying to hit your up and up right now, or you're kind of breaking it down so that you can have your up and up at a later meet, just depending on who you are and how you jump. So
at this point, though, you feel like you've got it in you to make another big time withdrawal?
Hopefully. I mean, like 2 days after that competition, I woke up and I was like, I don't know if I can go up the stairs today. So I think that we can keep improving for sure. Mm-hmm. I think definitely a lot needs to go back into the bank, because some big withdrawals have been made that I haven't made before. So I'm hoping at nationals and Olympic trials we can put enough back in that it comes back out those days.
Man, what an incredible conversation. Thank you so much. Yeah. Great perspective. We hit on a lot of different things, but it's cool to get to chat with you, and I know Husker fans will really appreciate your story. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Big Ten title at the high jump, but also the adding to the team title as the Huskers bring back back-to-back Big Ten championships. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.